There's a hadith narrated in Abu Dawood, and the meaning of this hadith is such that Hazrat Jabir radiyallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, narrates this hadith that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated that if any Muslim, if any believer, any Muslim brother speaks of another person, for example, in a way that he dishonors that person or disrespects that person or puts that person down, ridicules that person, that at that time when that Muslim is speaking about another person in an ill or bad way, then when he, for example, looks towards another person, dishonors that person, disrespects that person, and looks down at that person when that person's suffering loss or a bad experience or ill effects, then at that time, when his fellow Muslim brother ridicules him more and dishonors him more, how? That we see nowadays the situation where people are stuck in this, for example, not stuck, but they are, you could say, occupied in this action. Though, let me find out about somebody's bad habits or somebody's secrets or problems at home or outside. And if that person finds out in the night, then very difficult will it be that that night will pass without that person sharing those details with someone else. Oh, let me quickly share those details. Oh, this happened to that person. Oh, you know, he's got problems. Oh, did you hear what happened to that person? Or, you know, there's issues in that person's personal life or at home. Now, let's ask ourselves with honesty, isn't our society occupied in these sorts of actions? Very bad. And these are very minor for us. Very minor for us that, for example, to dishonor about somebody, to disrespect somebody, if you hear this or we see this or we're doing this ourselves, then we take enjoyment out of doing this. And on top of this, especially the women, oh, may Allah forgive, may Allah forgive, may Allah forgive, we didn't really mean to do this, or something's very bad's happened to this person. Did you hear what's happened to this person? Did you know this happened to this person? And this wasn't good. And so the person who's actually doing dishonoring or disrespecting the other person, he or she is trying to show that he or she has got sympathy, but rather inside that person's feels enjoyment out of ridiculing that person. Allah Ta'ala says, this is in my control whether I decrease or increase somebody's respect. Allah Ta'ala says, we cannot take respect from anybody, nor can we disrespect anybody else. This is all in Allah Ta'ala's power and control. Ups and downs of life are a part of life. These are all, you can say, the laws of Allah, the hikmah of Allah. And Allah Ta'ala says, I know best. How do you know why something occurred to somebody, why something didn't occur with somebody, why somebody trapped in a problem or a conundrum or an issue? Allah knows best and He knows, and it's Allah Ta'ala's command. Why do we need to worry about that person's mu'amalat? We don't. So how much thawab will we get or benefit if we speak ill of others or think ill of others or desire ill for others, but we have bad habits? We've got these habits from a long time. And this is called bad habits. A person with iman, Muslim, who prays, mashallah, who does ibadat, worship, does tasbih and dhikr, and does this action on top of ridiculing others, then where will his ibadah go? What will happen to the person on the day of Hashr? What will be the effect on that person? So what this hadith tells us is that a person should have fikr and worry and concern. Why does this occur to me? Why does this happen to me? For example, I'm praying salam, doing dua, do ibadat. So this, what is it within me that why am I committing such sins? What's the reason for this? And what a big loss a person incurs. Allahu Akbar, look at the hadith. That a big loss a person will incur. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying that after today, brothers, this whoever has this deficiency must do tawbah, true tawbah from today. True tawbah. Whoever is listening to this, this is a very important discussion and learning today. May not be, may Allah not disallow that if a person has this bad habit and sin and he passes away, he'll have a very bad hashr. Let's make a true promise that doesn't matter what occurs in my life, I don't need to speak about other people, speak ill of other people. What's the need for me to do this? Why should I waste my time? Make a true promise to ourselves today. Let's make a true promise. Let's swear to ourselves today and promise that I swear by Allah that If a person makes this promise, then he will save himself from 80% or more of sins. And this happens that as soon as, you know, this feature came out, unlimited calls, this feature and so-called benefit, unlimited calls. We don't even have things to discuss on the phone. How much can you say to a person on a call, "Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, did you hear about this person? What happened to this person? Oh, I didn't want to say this to you, or between you and me. Don't tell anyone else." But what can we do? Because we've got free time. We've got the phone in our pockets. We want to pass time. And for example, money and food, all of that's been accounted for. And look at those poor countries where people, they don't even have money to spend on the basics of life, and they just look left and right. A little while they start speaking about each other. Let's look at the condition of the Islamic society today. How we waste time. We should be grateful to Allah, Allah's ni'mas that He's given to us. We should be grateful. But rather than being grateful for the ni'mas Allah's given to us, we use them incorrectly. Just unlimited calls, technologies come to us, free minutes. Think for a minute, what am I talking about in these 2 minutes? What does the Quran and the Hadith tell me about this time I'm passing? Fasad in the homes, argumentation, quarrels, disputes, problems, difficulties, depressions, fights. All due to wasting our time on futile talk. This is the promise of Allah. And Rasulullah has told us this, that if anybody makes somebody, dishonor somebody, disrespects somebody, for example, someone's in hospital and he's got illness, and you're dishonoring that person or disrespecting that person, he's going through difficulty, Allah Ta'ala says, then what occurs then? What is the punishment? Ajib. That when you will have bad times, when the bad times will come to you and you will have negative experiences, and when you ask from Allah then for help, Allah says, "I will not help you at that time because you yourself laughed at the problems of others." And this is a very important point here, that when you will have bad times, so what we realize from this hadith, and this is a truth and an honesty, that if you laugh at the problems of others, then most definitely problems will come to you. This hadith teaches us this, that when you laugh at others and you speak ill of others and negatively to others, this hadith teaches us this, and it's given us a great learning that tomorrow if this occurs to you, and this will happen, then who will give you help? Because you have exposed yourself already, where you ridiculed others, laughed at others, joked against others, and looked down at others when their problems. Allah Ta'ala says, then your Rabb will not help you when your bad times will come. When bad times come to you, tell me, that what a big loss for that person, big loss. That person himself will be surrounded by issues. And this is the hikmah of Allah, the wisdom of Allah. That, for example, we commit sins and then we forget that we committed the sins. But Allah Ta'ala's words are haqq. Allah's promise is truth and honesty. And when Allah Ta'ala says something, it will occur most definitely. Nobody can refuse or reject. Allah, it was 10 years ago I did this sin, or 15 years ago. Allah, time's passed. No. At that time, one will have no assistance and will be totally exposed. Allah Ta'ala will bring forth such actions of ours that we did in our life, and then we'll remember, how did I do this? Oh, Allah will say, think, did you dishonor anybody? Did you disrespect anybody? And you can't even think and remember that time. Allah said that day, on this year, that moment, that month, you dishonored this person. You put this person down. You laughed at that person. And this will occur when we're old, and such luggage will come in front of us, when people will be laughing at me, at us, and joking against us, and ridiculing us, and then we'll remember, at some time in my life I also did the same, and this is now payback time. I said bad to somebody, I dishonored somebody, I lowered somebody, I put somebody down. Astaghfirullah. This is dunya, and in the dunya all of these things occur. From morning till evening, people are wasting their time. Somebody's experiencing problems, ups and downs, bad experiences and problems. Every moment in the dunya, the pattern of life changes. We don't know, I don't know, you don't know, that tomorrow what will happen to me? What will happen to me tomorrow? Then when I leave home, what will happen to me when I leave the masjid? What disaster will befall me? And we hear ajeeb things in the lives of people, what occurs. For example, somebody says, I went to get meat, and the person, the butcher, said to me in the shop, "Did you hear today what happened in that house?" Or to that person, for example, "Did you hear yesterday what happened in the shop to me, that my shutter was broken and somebody committed theft?" Or tomorrow somebody will tell me, somebody I know, somebody will tell me about his bad experience or a problem that's in his life. And we'll see that this happens, and then we speak about that person bad, in a bad way, behind his back to others. So this is Allah Ta'ala's hikmah, Allah's wisdom. The ups and downs come in everyone's life. So we should be concentrating and focusing on our own life. The mount will come, death will come. I need to prepare for the death in my grave, and I need to do deeds that take me towards positive and benefit in the hereafter, that can give me benefit. Such words should come out from my tongue that should become a tree of Jannah for me in the hereafter. to Jannah. For example, all of us have said, what just now? Subhanallah. So what occurs? What has grown? A tree. And how do we know? That's, we heard about something good and we said Subhanallah. Allah said, you haven't even said Subhanallah, and the tree has been grown for you in the hereafter, in Jannah. And if a person has a tree in Jannah, then this is good news for that person, that you have gone into paradise. It's a guarantee, isn't it? So it's a good news of paradise for that person. You've said one word. Allah said, why has this happened in our life? Now listen to this. Why does this occur? Because a person does a good action, another person hears something good, and suddenly he shouts out, Subhanallah, what's the difference here? This is the difference that I'm telling you. That is the difference between two people. Why? The difference between the two people is for this reason. Because there are such people who go to praise Allah after everything they heard, they don't worry about others. These are those people who live their life according to Allah Ta'ala's preference and desire, and they have saved themselves from the sin. Just like Allah is the Rasul, said something, that if you go and sit in the company of good people, you will learn good. You will learn good. Sit in a good majlis, in a good gathering, and spend time with good people. And spend time with jamaat and good congregation and tabliq and propagation of deen and a good environment. Those people who sit in good environment and spend time in a good way, then from their tongues nothing else comes out. Rather, what statements emanate? Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Glory be to Allah. And this is the difference. Because they have understood the meaning of their life. They know that everyone is weak. And everyone has got negatives, but they know that the cure that Allah Ta'ala has given and the Quran has given, that if you want to be a person of taqwa, if you want to be a good person, then sit honestly, spend time honestly, and sit with the honest people and spend time with honest people. Because Allah Ta'ala has made it a natural fact that whoever's company you sit in, then the effect of that person will rub off onto you. The effect of that person will rub onto you. So obviously if you come and sit in the dhikr of Allah, then obviously you will learn in that gathering things about dhikr, kalamat and verses and durood sharif and such great verses and such things full of nur and light that has an effect on a person directly, and the nur of that person comes out. So when nur comes into a person's life, then will he have time to backbite and take the telephone and gossip manga, etc.? And for those people who don't utilize this formula in their life, nor do they sit with the wali wala, nor do they attach themselves with the good people, nor do they go to good gatherings, nor do they hear good discussions, and they waste time. So what happens? Then they attach themselves to shaitan, shaitan overwhelms them, and then such sins are committed. So today, first thing we need to do is, today we are in a very bad generation. There are a lot of fitna and challenges surrounding us and sins around us, and we're in a very bad situation. We have sins in our pockets. We have them in our pockets, don't we? They're not far. Sins are in our pocket. That just like salah is in our pocket, and we say that we are people who worship, but the sins are in our pocket now. They're so close to us. So to save ourselves, we need to understand the Quran. The Quran says that doesn't matter how bad a time comes, dirty and impure, but don't leave the Quran. And understand the Quran, because you will get the cure from the Quran. So here the Quran is saying that even if the generation of Dajjal comes, which will be the worst of generations, even if the generation of Dajjal comes and Wamajuj will come out and they will emanate, and they'll wander around the world, and such bad times will come in the world. So who will be saved? Allah Ta'ala says, I will give you preparation and a formula to save yourself even in that bad time. And who will those people be? Those who do the dhikr of Allah. So when Allah Ta'ala is given the guarantee that for every generation and bad environment and negative and fitan, Allah says, how will you be saved? Do one action. Even if Dajjal comes and you start doing dhikr, then the dhakir will not fall into the trap of Dajjal. Remember this, Dajjal, that the dhakir will not fall in the trap of Dajjal. People will be prostrating. And they say, can I not destroy this person? I am God. I can do what I want. And he'll take the person's life away, give life again, bring rain from the heavens, and allow things to grow from the earth. He will have lots of powers and lots of things he will show. And his appearance will be horrible and ugly. He will have only one eye, floating like a grape. He will be ugly. And he'll say, I am God. And Allah's Nabi said that, listen carefully, that he will be disfigured. And do you think that Allah is like this, disfigured? But because those people will be far from the dhikr of Allah and the ma'rifah of Allah and the nearness to Allah, will be so far from Allah and so weak. Oh, Dajjal, he is God. Just like we say, no, this person's a peer and he's a great peer and he does dua and allows a person to have a son or a daughter or children. If you go to him, he does things, he takes jinns out of people, he's an exorcist, etc. Don't we say this? Why? Because we are weak inside. We don't have tawakkal Allah. We don't have taqwa. Because we don't have dhikr of Allah. So dhikr of Allah, my brothers, we don't do dhikr for this reason, to become walis of Allah, or to become a peer, or a sheikh. Allah Ta'ala has given dhikr as a cure. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu dhkurullaha dhikran kathira wasabbihu bukratan wa athila. Walladhi yusalli alaykum wa malaikatu liyukhrijahu min adh-dhulumati ilan nur. Subhanallah. Allah Ta'ala has given a guarantee in the Quran that you are drowned in kharafat, sins and darkness, you do bid'at, and you go around people accepting that they are your Rabb or your Lord, and you bow yourself in front of others and sub yourself. Allah says, يُخْرِجُهُ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ لِيُخْرِجُهُ, that I take you away from darkness to light, to the cure. But we don't want the cure. We don't want to do the good. I don't have time. I'm too occupied. I'm busy, etc. Allah Ta'ala has prepared in a beautiful way the cure. Look in Bolton, morning and evening in every masjid, there's the program of dhikr. I have no control, I have no capability, you have no capability, we have nothing in our hands. Allah Ta'ala is in control of everything. Allah prepares. 25, 30, 40 years these masjids were present and there was no dhikr masjid. But when Allah Ta'ala willed, Allah Ta'ala allowed dhikr to come to every masjid in this town. Subhanallah. So Allah Ta'ala has allowed the light and the greenery to come. The rahmah, the mercy of Allah Ta'ala has come to this qawm. And then the effects of this rahmah, such effects that great individuals were saved from sins. Women were saved from sins. They had nothing to do, but they have dhikr. And as soon as they started doing the dhikr of Allah, because Allah Ta'ala has promised in his dhikr, when a person does dhikr, Allah says, يُخْرُجُ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ, then I take that person out of darkness and sin to light. Oh, my son is disobedient. It happens, people, children become disobedient, daughters become disobedient, and there's facade and argumentation in the home. We're in this environment. Okay, fair enough. Nothing to worry about. Don't worry, Allah Ta'ala has given the cure. So bring your children towards dhikr. First, force them towards dhikr. They go, there's a gathering. Go and sit there. We'll get a good learning and effect. And he'll be afraid because shaitan, his mouth is dhikr of Allah. Shaitan will not come to dhikr, he'll run away. So see the children, subhanAllah. Allah Ta'ala's promise that slowly, slowly the love of dhikr will come into their hearts and the sins will come out of their life. For example, if somebody is ill and a person gets an illness, you don't take that child or yourself or that person who's ill to the doctor, because a mad person will never go to the doctor. You'll say, oh, I'm fine. I'm fine. But when you push and shove the person, the patient, to the dhikr, then the doctor says, ah, he's come, then he gives an injection and medicine, and slowly normality comes back to the patient. So in the same way, this is the clinic of Allah for us sick people, unwell people. That when the heart is ill, then tell me, such big sins that we commit, that people, for example, we go around backbiting against people, ridiculing people, laughing at people. This is a common sin in society because we don't have nur in our hearts. This is a common sin, that to say bad about somebody, look down at somebody, dishonor somebody, disrespect somebody. There's a big warning coming from Allah. Who are you asking help from, that you have displeased your Lord, you said bad about somebody, and then you are wondering that why there are problems in your life because you don't do dhikr? But the dhakir who does dhikr, he won't have time to speak about others, to get involved in futile talk and gossip mongering and waste of time talk. Because dhikr has come into that person's life, nur has come into their life, and Allah promises to the dhakir, I'll give you nur and light. That not, we do dhikr, I want to float in the air, I want to become a qutb, a ghawth, become peer sahib, and people come and press my legs and praise me. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Is this why the Quran has told us to do dhikr? These are facade and stories and waste of time activities that have spread today. This is what will happen in the time of Dajjal. So understand and recognize haq and falsehood, truth and falsehood. And how will we recognize? Via the light of Quran and Sunnah. If via the dhikr of Allah we get the Sunnah, Allah Ta'ala's kalam, Allah Ta'ala's deen, and we learn, then how can there be fasad in life? But if we do dhikr and we are doing bidat and innovation and waste of time activities, then that dhikr is a waste of time. Then, for example, if, for example, you see that we think something is white in color, it's a liquid, is it milk or is it artificial or fake, mixed with water? We say, oh, this is white and it's pure milk. But Allah has given us eyes, then recognize the haq and the truth from the negative and the falsehood. Is this true honey? Is this genuine honey or is it false? Or is this milk genuine or is it false? Or is this asal dhikr? Is this true dhikr, genuine, or is it fraud? Just like, for example, to recognize something, is it honey, and they give a methodology that puts something into the honey, and if it floats then it's not honey, if it goes down then it's honey. For example, to recognize the haq and the batil, Allah Ta'ala has given us the formula, that those people who do dhikr of Allah and then after that do fraud and they lie and commit sins, Allah Ta'ala says, yes, these people, they're following the path of dishonesty. So my words are like this, so you should understand what I'm saying. I'm saying totally the right thing here, that Allah Ta'ala has given us a method and a gauge to measure every majlis that we attend. Whatever Islamic gathering there is, Allah Ta'ala has given us a gauge that is there sunnah and sharia of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam present in that gathering? Do you leave that gathering with these, the rays of light of the sunnah and sharia? Is that gathering according to the deen, according to the sunnah? Do you learn the deen and the sunnah and sharia from that gathering? Then close your eyes and consider that there's haqqa. You don't need to look for kashf or karamat or dreams or visions or people flying the air or miracles. No, everything is minus. The biggest learning from that gathering is what? Sunnat Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And that's it, then we know that the gathering is rightful. So this is a great hadith that came to my mind as I was coming, as I was passing the day in the big help of Allah. And Allah Ta'ala says further, that individual who doesn't dishonor other people, who upholds the respect of others, rather when he has an opportunity, he assists other people, rather than dishonoring others, degrading them, and ridiculing them, rather doing the negative things, he promotes the respect of that person, and puts a veil between that person's sins, and that person himself, and says, no worry, problems occur, issues come with love and muhabbat, he encourages that person, helps that person. Allah Ta'ala says, I like that person so much, that whenever he requires my help, Allah Ta'ala says, I will come to that person's aid and assistance. Look at this here. So Allah Ta'ala has given a total formula and Allah Ta'ala has opened the doors from this world to paradise. Won't we need Allah Ta'ala's help at the time of death? Will we not need Allah's help at the time of the grave? On the day of resurrection, will we not need Allah Ta'ala's help? Tell me. What will assist us in these phases? Amal, deeds will not assist us, but Allah Ta'ala's rahmah and mercy will assist us at that time. The Allah give us your rahmah and mercy and blessings. That's what we need. Even amal will be accepted with the rahmah, the blessing of Allah. Even hajj and umrah will be accepted. Quran and dhikr will be accepted by the rahmah of Allah. So we need Allah Ta'ala's rahmah in every place. Allah Ta'ala has promised that at this time, don't commit this error, that if you see somebody losing out, being dishonored, disrespected, his respect is going, his honor is going, then assist that person. If you can assist that person, then put the veil between that person's negatives and sins and that person. Allah says, I promised you, wherever you need my help, I will assist you. So we should make a heart like this. This is the point. And this is where a person will attain success. So we need to arouse this feeling within ourselves. We need to enlighten ourselves within. And there's only one way to do this. To sit with the good people. Do the dhikr of Allah. Centered in the gatherings of dhikr. So that the color of the dhikr can take effect on us. And make dhikr our habit. Morning and evening. We should be habitual in dhikr of Allah. Go to the gathering of a friend of Allah. Learn dhikr. That please teach me. Tell me such dhikr. So that, for example, I go to a madrasa. I work. I have a career. Islamically, everyone has a career. Everyone has a pastime and a job. But dhikr of Allah doesn't mean that you leave your career. For example, you have an Islamic career and mode of life. Continue that. But dhikr is for everybody to do in parallel alongside the Islamic career. Everybody needs to do dhikr. Not that, for example, I am a commentator of the Quran, I don't need dhikr, I am this and that. No. Allah Ta'ala says dhikr of Allah is lazim for every individual, every human being, every moment. This is like water. Without water, you cannot live. So for this reason, for example, if you get an opportunity, you go to a sheikh who's qualified to teach dhikr, learn the dhikr from that teacher. So do your work of the deen and do dhikr of Allah in parallel. Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullahi had this same habit, that when somebody would go to Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullahi, he'd say, mashallah. He was a great personality, teacher and elder in the subject of the tasawwuf. So whenever anybody would go to get bayah from Hazrat Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah, what would he do? He wouldn't give bayah straight away. He would say, please write for me that what is your daily schedule, what's your work, how many children do you have, how many wives, what does your wife do, what do you do, where do you earn from, your family, what do they do during the day, and according to your schedule of life I will give you the prescription of dhikr, so that you don't get any ill effect or negative effects of the new lesson of dhikr you get. So you should do dhikr in such a way that you are always consistent and steadfast, even if you do one tasbih. But a person should have so much istiqamah and steadfastness that tasbih that should continue always, and it gives you success. But not that today you do 1,000 tasbih, then the next day 2,000, 3,000 after 3 days, and the loss comes and you leave, and you say, I don't have time, and you run away. So who told you to do this? If you're going to leave it after 3 days, then you should do the actions according to your capacity. Even if you sit down morning and evening, do three times, Allah, Allah, that's enough if you're steadfast on this action. So, my friends, may Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq that if we don't clean ourselves from within, then our ibadah is in danger, our worship is in danger, our ma'mulat are in danger. Inside there's dirt, then the impurity will one day give us destruction. So if we make this sin today, if we claim this sin of gossip mongering and talking about others and dishonoring them, we've seen hajis, they go on umrah and hajj, they go around the Kaaba, they present themselves in front of the Kaaba, then they do this sin. They do sin. So a person is surprised, why is this happening? Because inside they're not clean. They're not clean. The nur has not gone into their hearts. So we need to protect ourselves internally. The dhikr of Allah does this. So let's do dua that Allah gives me the tawfiq and you the tawfiq, that we should have the habit of dhikr in life, make it a pastime, regularity. Wherever there's dhikr majlis happening, we should go, they sit down, we'll get sakina, satisfaction by doing the dhikr of Allah, remembering Allah, and learn this a little bit and make this in your life. I do dhikr a little bit in the morning and in the evening. And in Naqshbandi silsila, the dhikr of the Naqshbandi tariqah is very simple, it's afsal. Look, what things Allah Ta'ala gives to the people. That it's not in this day, oh, I have to do this many thousand tasbih and that. No, this is not the game. This is not the game. We don't need tasbih. We don't need to count. We don't need to keep the tasbih in the hand. There's no necessity for this. Because Allah Ta'ala has given us the heart. Without tasbih, doing dhikr is the greatest dhikr. The highest dhikr. We don't even know this. That's the greatest form of dhikr. Your tongue doesn't move, nothing moves. That's the greatest dhikr. You don't need to move the tasbih, rosary, beads, or your tongue. And you don't need nothing. It's written. What dhikr is that? In Fazaili Amal, this is recorded. It's the dhikr of the heart. How easy is this dhikr? It's the greatest dhikr. It's the easiest dhikr. And we don't do it. We don't need tasbih. We don't need the beads. We don't need nothing. All we need is we focus on the heart a little bit. We close the eyes and say, Allah, 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 Allah from the heart. Your heart is saying, Allah, 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 Allah. And you can do whatever you want during the day. I said, so the Naqshbandi sheikhs teach this dhikr. Within seconds, they'll give you this dhikr and say, do this and learn this. And they'll teach you straight away. Within a seconds, they'll teach you, come, learn this dhikr. Why do you delay? Why do you make a delay? If you go to a Naqshbandi sheikh, he won't tell you to hold a tasbih or do this 1,000, 2,000 repetition, nothing. He'll clean your heart, purify your heart with this dhikr. And this is called maraqabah, dhikr of the heart. As a Sheikh Sahib Rahimahullah wrote this in his kitab. And there are many fazail and virtues of this dhikr. Fazail are on one side, many fazail. So if you get a sheikh who teaches you, they say, please sheikh, teach me this dhikr of the heart. But we're ashamed. Oh, I can't learn this. What's this to be ashamed of? Is this something to be ashamed of? That you're learning the path to Jannah and you're ashamed of this? You should say, Hazrat, Sheikh, please favor me, teach me how do I do this dhikr. Teach my heart so I can also do this. And he will teach you. End of story. That's, he won't take money from you. He won't take hisab from you or play games with you. Nothing. Easy. That even after that, for example, even if you don't keep in touch, he will tell you how to do dhikr. He will put his finger on your heart and you're free. Then after that, keep on doing this dhikr as long as you're alive. Do that dhikr. So should we do this or not, my friends? Yes, we should say loudly, yes, inshallah. So this is the path that Allah Ta'ala has opened. So Allah Ta'ala is telling us these teachings and words. Allah is telling us this. I'm not giving you a speech or a lecture. This is not a gathering of taqreer or lecture or speech that I'm giving you a lecture. This is all a message from Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Automatically they're coming on my tongue and Allah, and I'm telling you this and we are learning. Just like there's a machine and the machine is running automatically because the hujjat is being presented to us. And those people who don't know this or didn't know this, and today they are learning, this is hujjat on the day of judgment. Allah Ta'ala is saying that I created this majlis for you. I sent you to that individual, the teacher. And for your benefit, I told you these words. Were you sleeping at that time? At that time, did these words not come into your mind and brain and heart that I told you all of these words and teachings about dhikr? Why did you not benefit that time? Then what would that person say? Allah, please give me one more chance if I can go back to the earth. And I promised you I'll do your dhikr. I said I gave you the chance. Now's your second chance. Go to the left and you'll get the sin, punishment for the sin. If you had learned the dhikr qalbi and done dhikr in the heart, then where you would have reached the high maqam and levels. So whenever you're sat in a majlis gathering, make intention, have positive thoughts, whatever good words we hear and learn, straight away, immediately I will implement and make the niyam. Not that today I've heard, then I'll think about it tomorrow, should I do it or not? No, my beard will come out, I'll become pious, then I'll do dhikr. No, if the hukum has come, you've learned the words, this is haram, to trim the beard, then leave the beard to lengthen. Allah says, I am razi and pleased with this individual. I've told him this word, and he says, Amanu wa sadaqna, I've learnt and I've heard. Allah Ta'ala says, this is my servant, and he's done shukr of my ni'mah, of my teaching, my blessing. Allah Ta'ala says, I gave him such a great ni'mah and a blessing, that for example, I sent my ghulam. Allah says, I sent my servant who works for my deen, that go, keep the beard, grow the beard, minimum one fist length. The person who shortens the beard less than a fist length, you will get the punishment on the day of judgment, you will be thrown into Jahannam, hellfire. It's wajib. Those people who don't know, those poor souls who don't know, this message when it reaches them, they understand that the beard minimum length is one fist length. Lazim wajib. And the beard less than this cannot be the beard, it's a drama, it's a lie and a fraud, rather it's a major sin, and he's lying that he's got a beard. Yes, so do you understand this? You've heard, got this learning? You say, Allah, I didn't know. Allah, forgive me, this is a major sin that I was committing, and in the grave I will not be able to answer when I'm being told. The image will be shown, that what do you know about this person? And we will be shown the Rasulullah's image and appearance. That person who did this sin, who trimmed the beard less than fist length, how will he recognize the Prophet? Those people who joke and play games with the sunnah in the life, then how will they give the answer in the grave? And the image will be shown, the appearance of the Prophet will be shown, and that individual will say, I don't know who is this. And that message that Rasulullah has brought, فَتَّبِعُونِي, we don't do amal on that deen, then what will happen to that person? It's a major sin. Major, great major sin. Straight away, we need to correct our appearances, our faces. Keep the beard minimum one fist length. Make me, I will not trim or cut the beard after today. And I will have to, I can trim it if it's longer than a fist length, because the beard less than one fist length is not the beard in conformity with the deen of Islam. It's a major sin, and there are lots of punishments for that sin. So this is the reason why there's no barakah blessing when we sit in the gathering. Those good words that we hear and learn, straight away we need to do tawbah straight away. If we understand there's a defect, we need to understand that Allah has given me this message. If we hear something that's wrong, a lie, a fraud, Allah Ta'ala has given me this learning and this lesson. And if that person doesn't do tawbah in that lesson, then he has rejected a very big name of Allah, for which he will have to answer for on the day of judgment. Very big sin of Allah, a big lesson of Allah. Allah will say that you are sinful. I gave you good messages. I sent good people to you to give you good teachings and learnings. And Allah Ta'ala says that you didn't take that lesson. How do we know how many days more we are alive? So then we will remember that majlis on that day, when the punishment will be shown, he'll be alive. When people will be giving ghusl to that person, taking his clothes off and putting cotton wool into his nose and nostrils in his mouth, and he'll be given ghusl, say, ay, ay, yesterday I knew that I should have been doing these good deeds. If I change myself for the better, then I would be good. So brothers, do we make niyat? Proper niyat that we need to leave this sin or the sins, and secondly we need to enlighten our lives with the dhikr of Allah, and if we get the company of a shaykh, then we need to learn the dhikr of Allah. So these three things I've told you today, and today let's do niyat on these three things, and we will do amal with the fadl of Allah on this. So now let's do dhikr of Allah for a little while. We'll do du'as that Allah please make us depart from this world with iman in our hearts. Ameen.